Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry. Clean feel all day.
Trash talk!
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Trash talk!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Pro Football Hall of Famer Mike Singletary. Did you hear last year when Aaron Rodgers scored against the Bears, he told the fans, I own you?
I think if someone would have said that while we were playing, I would have thought something wrong with this person.
Today's guests, host of Peacock's Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio, host of ESPN's First Take, Stephen A. Smith, plus actor Wyatt Russell. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. I start this program on Peacock doing a reverse Caruso. I'm taking off my glasses to say hello. Welcome to this program here in Los Angeles, California. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We say hello to the NBC Sports on Peacock audience, the NBC Sports audio audience, Sirius XM 85, our terrestrial radio audience coast to coast. We say hello to those listening on Odyssey and then later on our podcast. We just say hello to everybody because that's how outgoing we are as a group. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman.
Hey, Rich.
DJ Mikey D is in D's nuts. His back is in his chair. And he swears he's here all week.
I'm here all week.
Try the veal.
Yes.
The veal, everybody.
Tip
your waitress. Your wait staff, TJ Jefferson's lighting the candle. Good to see you over there, TJ Jefferson.
Good morning, Rich. You know, today's the anniversary of the Iverson step-over game.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, man, what a beautiful night in Los Angeles that was.
Over Ty Lue.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, there is some Los Angeles basketball coaching news to get to that we will on this program. First up on this show, Stephen A. Smith is calling in as he's, I believe... going to the airport, like the rest of everybody who's covering the NBA for the worldwide leader in sports and ABC, for game three that's going to be later on this week in Boston as the NBA Finals moves from one spot to another. Also on this program, Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk. Lots going on with Deshaun Watson's attorney, I'll tell you that. Touched upon it back on Friday, but I literally just said that.
You can't say that with me here.
The Broncos might be sold by the end of the day. Are the Seahawks for sale? What's going on with Russell Wilson's contract? Why is that suddenly a conversation? There is so much to discuss in the world of the NFL with OTAs, mandatory OTAs, coming up one after another, including Green Bay's this week. Mike Florio will join us, and the actor Wyatt Russell will join us. The last time he was on, he was promoting the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Now he's on the show called Under the Banner of Heaven with Andrew Garfield. He is on this program coming up in hour number three in studio. A huge in-studio week for us. Tomorrow we've got O'Shea Jackson Jr. and Michael Chiklis, and later on in the week we've got Henry Winkler. There's so much fun over the next 5 days for us to have on the show. And it's not just because Mike Del Tufo swears he's going to be here for every single one of those days.
Don't buy it, Mike. That's
how we've set the table. We've set the table, everybody. So the NBA Finals is now tied at one game apiece. Looked like we were going to have another tight one until the third quarter happened. And once again, the third quarter went the Golden State Warriors' way. This one, however, was such a blowout in the third quarter. And the fourth quarter, there was no Celtics three-pointapalooza. And the Warriors win this one 107-88, and it really wasn't that close. The Warriors did get a better performance from Jordan Poole, who went splash from half court. That was a huge shot, even though he kind of carried the ball before shooting it. Jordan Poole with 17 points off the bench. Kevon Looney had a nice game as well. Steph Curry almost with a 30-piece last night. Klay Thompson added his points, and Gary Payton II made his appearance, and Andre Iguodala didn't even dress. So that looks to be potentially the way the Warriors are going to play this thing from here on out, as their first NBA Finals MVP from this stretch. didn't even dress last night. Gary Payton II did dress for this one for a second straight time. This time, however, he actually played and looked the role of giving a nice burst to this team on both ends of the floor, even though Jason Tatum had a heck of a first half, a much better game too, and Derek White was doing his thing. We did not see the huge three-point outburst from Al Horford. We didn't see it. We did see it from Jaylen Brown in the first quarter last night, but the second half, it was all Warriors, and we're tied at one game apiece, and Stephen A. Smith, who's going to join us shortly, I think accurately made it an assessment that it looked like the Celtics already had their one, and they were kind of settling in the second half last night. There was a touch of contentment. You didn't see the same hunger in the second half last night. That may be something that you can't ascribe to the Celtics, but you just thought last night that they had a shot in the second half to just lay down the law, lay the wood to this team, and take a 2-0 lead back to Boston.
Gosh.
And that is kind of the NBA Finals champion mentality that you would see from teams that are dominant. And maybe, just maybe, though, that these two teams are very well matched, and it's going to be a close series all the way to the end. That's another way that you can assess it. And Draymond Green had the soundbite of the night after game one, where he looked at the stat sheet and he saw 15 of 23 three-point shooting from Horford, White, and Brown, and he basically intimated that odds are that's not going to happen again. And I've said, the odds are philosophy going against the Celtics is a poor philosophy to have, because the Celtics have taken your odds are and stuffed it where the sun don't shine on every single opponent that they've faced pretty much since the calendar turn from 2021 to 2022. And maybe, just maybe, this team in Golden State needs to take these three-point shots and shooting ability of this team far more seriously. Or it's just Draymond Green only knowing one speed. And that's the speed of getting in people's faces and getting in people's kitchens and grills. And just seeing him matched up with Marcus Smart last night on occasion. You know, I turned to you, Chris. By the way, Chris, I watched the game with Chris yesterday. Figured you were at Dodger Stadium once again for the Mets, TJ Jefferson.
I was not. Okay. That's quite neat. Okay. I didn't want to come anyway.
Well,
that's
at any rate, I know that. But anyway, so I turned to Chris and I'm like, these two guys, when they're matched up together, it's the matchup of the two guys who know how to get it done while blaming it on the other person that they're covering more than anybody else. Yeah. And hiding it. And they pretty much know how to get it done and blame it on the other guy and make it look to the referees
Take
that it's
right
the other guy's
line.
Fault. And then Draymond
should have got ejected last night.
Lied on top, like laid his feet on top of Jaylen Brown. And he already had a technical. And the officials had to go in there. And as Van Gundy pointed out, this is normally a double technical. Certainly if you're pulling on the shorts of the opponent who was getting up and having an issue with you resting your feet on top of them for a split second. And a double technical would have knocked Green out of the game.
That's too bad. I mean, they got to do it.
They didn't. And so Green last night doubled down. And so he only knows how to do it. Again, he doubles and triples and quadruples down.
One speed.
He doubled down on his comment after game one of, like, these guys can't keep it up, so I think we'll be fine. This is what he had to say.
I think it was definitely an attitude adjustment. You know, like I said, we didn't play with enough force the entire 48 minutes. We had spurts where we played with the right amount of force in game one. But overall, against a team like that, you can't let your foot off the gas pedal. All they need to see is one shot go in, and it can start a domino effect. And so we knew, like I said last game, they are who we thought they were. And so we knew we had to keep our foot on the gas pedal and not let up. And we did that, and we're able to come out with the win.
So Draymond went another green. Denny.
They are who we thought they were.
Except they didn't let the Celtics off the hook this time.
They are who we thought they were.
Money Green going Denny Green. And, man, I just know Celtics fans are going to hear that soundbite for the next 48 hours played on, what, all EEI and all those stations nonstop. They're just going to be really intense in game number three when the Warriors get on the floor. And we'll have to see them win another game on the road for a 25th consecutive playoff series. If they don't, the Celtics will win the series. It's just that simple. And Draymond Green is the table wired. The question is, will he be able to hit the point? And the Warriors made their points last night, and Poole made his points last night. But I think that Draymond Green has written some checks that he knows that the officials are ready to cash. Now that we're going to be spending the next 48 hours thinking hearing conversations he should have been ejected, and he's like, the Celtics are who we thought they were. Who are they? But a team that's running out of gas, a team that can't keep up the shooting.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a compliment.
Defensive intensity. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that comment really means. But all I know is it's really set up this NBA Finals that's now a best of five with the Celtics having home court advantage. And the Celtics will take that, would sign for it. Although our next guest, as we take a break, points out that they played like it last night. And they didn't take advantage of the opportunity to take the first two in San Francisco. Let's take a break. When we come back, none other than Stephen A. Smith from ESPN and the NBA on ABC. That's coming up next. All right, so we're back here on NBC Sports on Peacock, and we're back here in the Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio outfit. He is one of my favorite people on the planet, not just to watch, but just to chat with. He's on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line, making his way east, or about to, for Game 3 that's going to be on Wednesday night on ABC between the Celtics and the Warriors. It's now a best of five in the NBA Finals. The great Stephen A. Smith here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, Stephen A.?
What's going on, Rich? Good morning. How are you, man?
I am great. Appreciate you giving us some time as you're making your way to the flight east. Your two cents on Game 2, well, the first two games. Go for it.
Well, I think that the Golden State Warriors could have easily been up 2-0 in this series. They've had some big-time moments, particularly in the third quarter of each game. Unfortunately, they fell apart in Game 1, was up 15, and ended up being down 15. Tremendous turnaround by the Boston Celtics. Game 2, that did not happen. They recognize that their backs are against the wall. Boston Celtics, you can't go down 0-2 to the Boston Celtics and expect to win a series against them, because they're not going to lose 4 and 5 games. They haven't lost back-to-back games in the postseason yet. And so when you look at it from that perspective, there was an elevated level of urgency. Draymond Green played like that, antagonizing folks the way that he did and being as ferocious on defense as he's ever been. Steph Curry did his thing. Jordan Poole came off the bench and helped. And ultimately, for some inexplicable reason, the Boston Celtics can't seem to get their act together in the third quarter, and it came back to haunt them. This series is tied 1-1.
Well, I mean, just in and of itself, Stephen A., Draymond resting his legs atop Jaylen Brown and then kind of tugging on his shorts is not an ejectionable offense, but it might be worthy of a double technical, as Van Gundy pointed out during the broadcast, which would have, with 1T already on the docket for Draymond, ejected him from the game. Do you think the officials should have done that last night?
I don't think they should have done that. I don't think they should have done something that would have led to him being ejected. I'm not only am resistant to it, I abhor this thought process that we're supposed to avoid and ignore the actual moment that we're in. This is not a regular season game. This is the NBA Finals. And you want the game decided by the players on the court and the coaches in the coaching box. You don't want the play decided by officials. Now, granted, you understand that Draymond had already received a technical earlier in the game. And if you want to make the case that he's a bit too demonstrative and too bombastic when it comes to getting in the face of an official, I even understand that. But a play like that doesn't warrant an ejection. And if you know that it would lend itself towards him being ejected, from an NBA Finals, it absolutely disgusts me that 20,000 people pack an arena and millions upon millions of people are watching it on television. And we just want to ignore that because that play customarily would warrant a technical foul. And we're just going to ignore the fact that it would lead to an ejection in an NBA Finals game. I think it's utterly ridiculous that people have that kind of attitude. They want to act like all things are equal and every moment in the same when you damn well know better.
Well, I mean, but how many times, you know, if he did it a third time, then, you know what I mean? Like, at some point, though, there has to be some sort of repercussion, don't you think, Stephen A?
I think there has to be. Well, that says Rich Eisen. Rich Eisen and I love each other dearly. We both, you know, you love your wife, and I love her dearly as a friend of mine for 20-plus years. But I'm sure this isn't the first time, nor will it be the last, that we respectfully disagree. The reality of the situation is that with that particular play, I don't care if it happened 20 times. It doesn't warrant to me an ejection. If you gave me the same scenario with the same exact play that took place, I'm more receptive to a referee saying, all right, I've had enough because you're constantly screaming in my face, rubbing your body up against mine, and imploring me to see things the way that you see it, and you won't stop. To me, that warrants more of an ejection than the actual play against Jaylen Brown.
What do you think Money Green meant at the end of his press conference last night, that the Celtics are who we thought they were? He pulled Money Green pulled a Denny Green last night, Stephen A. What do you think he meant by that?
I don't know how wide that is. I don't know that wide that is, because let me tell you something right now. Jason Tatum is the star of this league. He hasn't played like one as of yet, but he is. Jaylen Brown is a star as well. This brother can play some basketball, and their defense is real. It's not fake. It's not phony. It's a legit elite defense in the National Basketball Association. So if he said that about a team that simply tried to outscore the Golden State Warriors and didn't take defensive prowess into account, I get where he's coming from. But Boston has lockdown capability. And when you consider the way they have Klay Thompson struggling, that with the exception of Jordan Poole getting off in the third quarter, they've held him in check, and they certainly haven't allowed Draymond Green to be some offensive juggernaut. I think it's kind of dangerous for him to say that, but he is a three-time champion. This is his sixth appearance in an NBA Finals. Mm-hmm. If anybody has earned the right to display such bravado, it's him.
Stephen A. Smith, a few minutes left with him before he hops a flight to Boston for Game 3. That'll be on Wednesday night on ABC. And he and Wilbon and Jalen Rose and Greeny and Magic Johnson. That was a terrific ad. You can check him out every single pregame and mid-game, halftime, and afterwards right here on the Rich Eisen Show. So how do you see the next five games playing out? Best of five, Boston's got home court advantage. Do you think they can pull this off, Stephen A.?
I think we come back to Golden State next week for Game 5 with this series tied 2-2. I think a best of five will intensify to a best of three. I have the Golden State Warriors winning this series in seven games, but I did say it was a pick'em series to begin with because I happen to firmly believe that the Boston Celtics are an elite team because of their defensive prowess, and if Golden State doesn't get its act in order, they could lose this series. Klay Thompson shoots 4 of 19. That's unacceptable. That's not going to cut it. That's not going to get it done. And I think that we all know that. And so it's one of those situations where I look at Boston, I respect them for being a legitimate bona fide threat that they are, but I still firmly believe that the Golden State Warriors should be the team that gets it done because of their championship experience and because of Mr. Steph Curry, who I think will capture his first NBA Finals MVP honors when all of this is said and done.
Okay. So how do you just take the other side of that, see the Celtics pulling it off? How do you see that being possible?
If they continue to neutralize Klay Thompson and Jordan Poole, they can win this series. The role players are going to be pivotal. I get all of that. But in the end, it comes down to Klay Thompson and Jordan Poole and how much assistance they're going to give to a Steph Curry. Because at some point in time, just like Boston was able to neutralize Steph Curry in Game 1, where he comes out, he drops six threes and scores 21 points in the first quarter, and then is held to 13 points for the rest of the game, just like they figured him out over those last three quarters, they could potentially do that again. And if that happens, Klay Thompson and Jordan Poole are going to have to step up. And if they don't, Boston can take these guys.
Stephen A. Smith, a couple more minutes left with him here on the Rich Eisen Show. I have not spoken to you since the Lakers made a move in the direction of Darvin Ham. The report this morning from Shams Charania saying that it looks like Rasheed Wallace might join him on his coaching staff. What do you think of the hiring of Ham for the Lakers, and what do you think they need to do from this moment forward with LeBron and the rest of that roster, Stephen A.?
I love that, because what you're doing, you're having a coach, first of all, from a physical perspective, don't even think about pushing Darvin Ham around, not that they would anyway, because they're professionals, but don't even think about that not happening, because that's not going to happen. They're not going to push him around. This guy, he's a massive individual. He's earned the right to get this opportunity. I'm happy for him. I was a bit apprehensive about it, only from the standpoint that he's a first-time head coach. And considering all the news that has percolated out of the Los Angeles Lakers as an organization and how you have folks interfering with what the coach actually wants to do, you certainly thought that they would hire a stronger mind that wouldn't allow that kind of stuff to happen. But they swear that's not going to happen in the future, that anybody who thought that way about them is not going to have a reason to think about that moving forward. And as a result, they feel the way that they feel. Fair enough. I think adding a guy like Rasheed Wallace to the coaching staff, considering what I know he knows about the game of basketball, combined with how his personality is, how much respect he garners from the contemporary player, and how he can get in their face if necessary, along with retaining Phil Handy, who doesn't get enough credit for his player developmental skills, along with his basketball acumen, I think their staff is going to be pretty strong, and I think that that's going to help them overcome a lot of the maladies from last season. So I don't really have a problem with their coaching staff. I have an issue with their roster. Anthony Davis, you don't know how healthy he's going to be. Russell Westbrook doesn't appear to be the ideal fit for them, and as a result, they need to make some moves. Whether they'll be able to remains to be seen, because you don't have people wanting Russell Westbrook, even though he's approaching the last year of his deal at $47 million per. You don't have people that are too keen on grabbing him. That could all change in a matter of months, and we know that. But it really comes down to me, LeBron James and Anthony Davis. How healthy are they? If those two guys are healthy, they can get you to the postseason.
And then
you take it from there.
Last one for you, Stephen A. You could take the Nets or the Sixers as the team to be the Eastern Conference favorites next year. Those are the only two. Which one would you take, Stephen A.?
Easily Brooklyn. From a talent perspective, from an ability perspective, you've got Kevin Durant, who I believe is the greatest player in the world, when completely healthy. We all know that Kyrie Irving is a showstopper. And Ben Simmons is an elite defensive player. The season before last, he was my vote for defensive, because I have a vote. He was my vote for defensive player of the year. I say all of that to say, obviously, Ben Simmons and Kyrie Irving are anything but reliable. Ben Simmons is a complete different case altogether. We don't even know if he's going to play again, to be quite honest with you. We don't know what his mental health situation is like. And in the case of Kyrie Irving, this guy's a showstopper. He's box office. He's worth $50 million a year, as far as I'm concerned, in today's NBA economy. But I would never, ever give him more than a one-year-at-a-time deal. He cannot be trusted to show up to work. I said this before publicly, and I'll say it again. Rich Eisen, my hand to my Heavenly Father, I swear this to you.
Yes.
When Ukraine got bombed by Russia, I actually thought that Kyrie Irving was going to use that as an excuse to skip work. That's who he is. He's done it before. Remember, this is the same guy that skipped work because he was traumatized by the riots at the U.S. Capitol. When everybody else in America had to show up to work, Kyrie Irving took time off. This guy's a professional that's skipping work. He finds reasons not to show up to work. It's not that he doesn't want to put in the work. He just wants to show up when he wants to show up. If practice is at 10 a.m., he wants to show up at 12 noon. If the game is at 7:30, damn it, why can't it be at 5:30? If a game is on a Thursday, damn it, why can't it be on a Friday? That's who he is. That's who he is. And so for me, the only thing that you can trust about him that he'll care enough about his money to show up to earn it. If you know it's guaranteed, he might throw a monkey wrench in that. But from a talent perspective, no question, Brooklyn is head and shoulders above Philly, and I would trust Kyrie's talent and Ben Simmons' talent more than James Harden's talent at this stage in his career because of that hamstring injury he's never fully gotten over, and plus age and attrition.
Stephen A., safe travels. Really appreciate the time. Always, as you
no
know,
problem,
I,
my man.
I cherish it.
No problem, buddy.
Be safe. I love watching you the rest of this this series and beyond. Thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
All right. All right, my brother. We'll talk soon.
The one and only Stephen A. Smith here on the Rich Eisen Show as he gets ready to head off. He'll take the Nets even with the way he feels about Kyrie over your 76ers.
Well, personal feelings don't matter on the court. Like, you don't matter if you don't like him. You put the man on the basketball court, he's one of the best in the game.
But it's not a personal feeling thing. If it was a personal feeling thing,
well, you said he'd take the Nets even with the way he feels about Kyrie. Well, it doesn't matter. Like, Kyrie on the basketball court.
But his point is that Kyrie's not reliable to get on the basketball court. And that's, even with that, he still would take the Nets over the Sixers.
Well, then that's foolish.
Is that what you would term it?
Yeah. You know. I gave you a laundry list of reasons why
if it was personal,
you don't trust this man.
He and Durant had beef with Stephen A. recently, and he's calling him the best player on the planet.
Yeah, I was shocked by that. I also love the way he kind of threw in there that he had a vote.
It's not personal.
When he goes, Defensive Player of the Year, I have a vote. He slid that in there really nice.
Well, you should. Guys, he watches a ton of basketball.
Yeah.
I don't know if Kyrie's going to go 1 year. Do you think Kyrie would just go 1 year with the Nets? I don't think that's a feasibility.
No, I'm looking to see what he's getting paid.
Now. And Harden, Harden just needs to go on the JH system.
Well,
he should call up Tom Brady.
The JH system isn't working.
We need a new JH system.
Chris. It worked for a while.
I'm saying it, man. I'm calling Tom Brady if I'm like Daryl Morey. Give me Tom Brady's number. Tom, can I hook you up with James Harden? And then you call James Harden in and say, James, I just 1 year. Just give it to me. Okay? Give me 1 year of you on this system. 1 year of treating your body like a temple.
He shows up like 205, shredded.
Yeah. What if he did that?
Then the Sixers will win the championship.
They might. Because he just basically said, I will take Kyrie Irving and his unreliability.
Yeah.
I would take him over Harden because he hasn't gotten over a hamstring injury in forever. And all he's got to do is get over that hamstring injury and become a little bit more than the playmaker that he is right now. By the way, I've never heard playmaker as a backhanded compliment term in my entire life.
Only for someone who used to average 33 a game. Also, the hamstring injury he hasn't been able to get over, like, obviously, hamstring injuries must be really tough to recover from.
And I'll tell you this. I do, even though I do agree with his assessment that this is the NBA Finals and you need to call it differently. That's the way I always feel. You know how the NFL is the king of doesn't matter what game it is, doesn't matter what time it is, doesn't matter at all. We're calling the foul. We're throwing the flag. I mean, that's what Pereira said all the time. But you see the referees eat their whistle in the last couple minutes of an NFL game.
Yeah.
Although, you know, Bengals fans will be like, wait a minute, did you not see the end of the Super Bowl this year when we got called for holding? And it was a completely reversal of the way the game was called.
Right.
Of that entire game. Of course, the Rams fans would be, well, did you see Jalen Ramsey have his head nearly turned around like it was The Exorcist in the beginning of the second half and that wasn't called? I just needed to push back on him. Certainly just for you, Chris, you know, and you, the Celtics fans, were like, if you keep on letting somebody do what they want, and it is right. Normally any time of the year, a technical foul, and somebody's already gotten the tee, that doesn't mean that they have to do something completely egregious in order to get that second technical.
Yeah.
I guess if he had instead of laying his feet on him, if he had kicked him in the nether region, that would have been it. Because that's what's happened before to him in an NBA Finals.
Then what is trying to pull his pants down? Like, what are we doing? Are we at summer camp?
Well, I think you can chalk it up to him trying to pull himself up more than him trying to pull
Don't make excuses pants. For this guy.
Oh, like, I'm not making excuses, but I'm just saying, why would he try to pull his pants down? I don't believe
it. Because that's what he does. He's a petulant child on the basketball court, and the refs let him get away with it. Like, who cares if he's already
had a technical? Well, they did tee him up beforehand.
He's screaming at Grant Williams. Like, it's the sum of the parts here. It's the sum of all the actions. So if four or five things happen throughout the course of the game, yes, you should be ejected. I don't care if the one that tipped the scale wasn't as bad as 1, 2, 3, or 4. Like, at what point is enough of is enough?
I guess the second technical in an NBA Finals game needs to have a different standard than the first. And that's something that I'm sure the NBA would deny.
I understand. The first is always like, hey, here's your warning shot, okay? Don't do it again. But he doesn't care. Draymond Green has shown throughout his entire career those things don't matter. He cost his team a world championship because he couldn't help himself.
And he has since corrected that, I think. He's a lot more, I think, wise about his shenanigans these days than he was as
a younger player anymore. So he has to resort to this type of stuff.
I don't know about that assessment.
Well, I mean, it's kind of obvious. No one is as good at 33 as they are at 23. Like, so, yeah.
So he has to resort to intimidation, getting the fans and his teammates jacked up by doing this type of behavior that in any other game gets you booted.
He might physically be different, but he's a much better player in terms of his mental acuity and how
That's all he has left.
Well, I mean, that's a great way to keep yourself on the path to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think he's more aware of his arms and his legs and what he's doing with them.
Look, the call that I'm more pissed about is Jaylen Brown's second foul went on every single replay.
Yeah, no, we thought
he doesn't touch him.
This kind of plays in
and
to what we're talking
that's a
about.
A 3-point play, and it gets Jaylen Brown
foul.
Out of the game
right.
after he had scored 9 in a row.
And so, in the same way that we're saying officials should just call it as they see it and remove the stakes from the process, in other words, the exact opposite of what Stephen A. Smith just said,
right.
as he respectfully disagreed with me.
Yeah.
That I think coaches should challenge calls, use their challenge in the first quarter if it's something that is just as important as it is in the fourth. You know, sometimes a baseball manager will bring in a reliever in the fifth or sixth inning of a playoff game because this is the moment to douse the flames mm-hmm. because you never know the seventh, eighth, and ninth innings, of course, could be have the same level of importance, if not more important, because it's later in the game and you're that much closer to winning. I'm always in the mindset in a playoff game, bring the guy in now because you could put the fire out now and have no fires the rest of the game. That's your fire. You don't just let it, you know, involve the house more because, you know what, later on, we're going to have more of a brigade. We'll need the brigade later on. Mm-hmm. I thought, you know, M.A. Udoka should have used his challenge on that in the first quarter. When your star player's got a second foul to be picked up.
And he's hot.
And he's hot.
Yeah.
And the replay showed he didn't come.
Any contact. Zero.
You use the challenge there. He's got one foul and off you go. And it's not a big play. I mean, the first quarter was the Celtics quarter to maybe kind of win it. And then as you saw, there was no third or fourth quarter need for that challenge.
Nope.
Well, the NBA Finals, people. When we come back, let's turn our eyes on the football world. I've been making this statement over and over again that the Las Vegas Raiders are going to win the AFC West this year. And just like everybody in Las Vegas, you know, when you push your chips in to the center of the table, you got to double and triple and quadruple down to just protect your bet. I'm putting the odds behind the pass line when we come back. You'll see what I mean when we talk about the AFC West and that deep end of that pool. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Mike Florio is going to join us top of the next hour. The, as expected, 24th civil lawsuit has been filed against Deshaun Watson. And this one, the tells a story that I can't mention on this program. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. What is he's being accused of is so vile and disgusting that I cannot mention it here. And if it's true, the league must act, and it's got to act considerably. I honestly, there's nothing that can remove this story from my brain now. And like I said, I the only thing I can tell our listeners is to go seek it out. This, I don't even know how to describe it in a way for a radio audience that might have children in its out there, earmuffs. The accuser is saying that Watson had her went to her house for the massage, and eventually wound up being fully naked. And now I guess know why Rusty Harden, his attorney, was talking about happy endings the other day, and they're not necessarily being illegal. Maybe he saw this one coming. He saw the document or anything like that. All I know is that the massage therapist didn't expect it, didn't want it, and wasn't happy for her. And she quit the profession and called a friend apparently right afterwards. So this could be corroborated. I mean, the Browns did not do their due. Again, I know it's a he said, she said thing. If this is true, the Browns clearly did not do their due diligence. And I don't, once again, know this guy. I met him right after the draft. He couldn't have been more nice, couldn't have been more polite, couldn't have been more everything that you'd want in your child, everyone you'd want in your child's friend, anybody that you'd want in a face of your business. That's who Deshaun Watson was. As bright-eyed and as on the straight and narrow as you'd want anybody that you'd be giving all this money into. I don't know that person reading this document. Vile is the only way to describe it, if true. And I don't know the way out of this. And if it's true, then he should be on the commissioner's exempt list 5 minutes ago. Immediately. And I don't know the way out of this thing. But it's not criminal. He's not getting any criminal charges. It's all civil. And there's now 24 of them. 24 lawsuits. Mike Florio joining us at the top of the next hour. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Kevin Stefanski just was speaking. It looks like he's at a golf tournament or something like that. I'm seeing this from the terrific NFL Network news desk. There's a mandatory minicamp next week. He has a Browns golf tournament today, and he's just, we're trying to be respectful of the process is what he said about the 24th lawsuit coming. He also mentioned that he wouldn't comment on Baker Mayfield showing up for mandatory minicamp next week, if he's going to be excused or if he's expected. The Niners announced that they're excusing Jimmy Garoppolo from their mandatory minicamp.
You're taking news items. Like, come on.
Dude, that's an hour three. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I mean, I do love it if people are going to be watching all 3 hours of the Rich Eisen Show hearing.
That's what I mean.
But
the Browns really messed up. I'm sorry.
You just think?
It's just not like kind of hitting me. You just alienated a guy that you drafted number one, what, 4 years ago, 5 years ago? And you gave all this money to a dude who we want to really believe in and believe. But like one or two, you can overlook. 24, like, my God, I can't even sit here and try to come up with a way to defend this dude anymore, man. It's just, and they gave him $180 million.
$230 guaranteed.
I'm just talking about the escrow. Like, that whole thing is weird. I've never heard that before. And $230.
They gave him $230 million guaranteed dollars.
I think,
and as Andrew Brandt points out, they gave him a contract where if he is suspended, it only comes out of his $1 million of the $46 million. So they basically made him monetarily foolproof to a suspension. A year-long suspension, he loses only a million of the $46 million. That's it.
Wow.
So they basically said to him, hey, we got your back if you've done this and to the point where the league needs to suspend you, feels compelled to suspend you. So you get to still keep your money, and then once that's all over, you'll be our quarterback. Now, there's got to be part of the fan base that will never overlook any of this ever again. Doesn't matter how many touchdowns he scores.
Well, then again, that does kind of cure things.
Honestly,
most fans throwing touchdowns,
and you know you might sit here and say, why is this accuser coming forward now after all this time? And apparently, it was that Real Sports piece that aired the night that we were at the Sports Emmys. She saw it, and she's like, "I got to speak out."
I haven't seen the report, but just going by the way you described it and just in my head,
I can't describe it. All I know is I read it during the commercial break after hanging up from Stephen A. Smith and whatever, and it's disgusting. It's vile. It's just like behavior like that is sick, venal. I mean,
got a problem.
Again, and I'm sure you're innocent until proven guilty, and it's not, you know, he's all the charges have been, you know, would never filed criminally against him. But these civil lawsuits, this is somebody saying that she accepted his business. I know folks are saying like that, and I'll just say this too. Have you ever gone and gotten a massage and then you went to the masseuse's house?
No.
You know, like that's weird.
Nope. Weird.
Normally the masseuse or masseur comes to your spot. Or you go somewhere where it's a professional
business.
The whole thing is just so weird and wild, especially with a professional athlete letting you know, like that's your profession to be
to have your
body taken care of, and you're gonna put it in the care of 24 different people.
Yeah, that's always been your thing from day one. like one
you
person.
Find like I every professional athlete I know finds the one person that knows their body. And they go to that person, and that's their person. For as long as that person's willing to have you.
Or you have a person in each city that you go to, so you have that, you know, but you specifically, but like
that's,
you said,
that's it.
There's like a person.
You know, like I've got a right hip issue, I got this, and that's, you know. And the story that this masseuse tells is similar to the ones that other ones. And his lawyer went on the radio last week and said the most disgusting thing too. Like basically, like how many guys out there in your listening audience have had a happy ending in a massage and it's not illegal? It's like, what are you talking about? Like now, so you're saying that this stuff did happen?
Or that it's
so you're
normal?
Saying this stuff did happen and it's normal and it's not illegal. I thought this was all untrue and nothing ever happened. Oh, well, some of it's consensual, but the other ones aren't at all sexual because he never did it. Just like which ones did he do and which ones didn't he do? And this is the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns in week one. I don't know how that's possible. And then if he is suspended, you know, that you know, then it's just okay. We're all just good. We're all good, and let's go play football. And that's what the Browns are counting on. The Browns are counting on that he serves it out, and we'll just forget about the 2022 season at some point. Will you tell that to all the teammates? And Baker, Baker's supposed to be the one to get them off the hook. That's right. That's why they still have him here. That this guy who has this lawsuit filed against him and a lawyer who's saying what he is now saying publicly, that guy got all the guaranteed dollars from the team that that wants him back under the circumstances to save the season. Save the season, Baker. We made this decision with Deshaun Watson. We upset you. You're upset at us, but let's put bygones. Let's have bygones. Your guy's got to take us out of this problem. Please. Get out of here with that noise. Literally, last thing I want to be talking about in the sports world is this story. Literally, last thing. Well, apparently, that's what the masseuse had to do, is take a shower, according to her lawsuit.
Jeez.
And so, awful. Guys and ladies out there and kids out there, last thing I want to be talking about. But kind of have to, don't we? Wow. Mike Florio on this and more coming up. Where do you go after that? You know what I mean?
We could talk about some good Browns news then, Rich.
What do you got?
Well, you know, my buddy Nathan Zagora, who's called into the show before.
Yes.
He recently got named lead radio color analyst for the for Browns football games.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he and Gerard Cherry. Gerard Cherry's taking over sideline reporter. He's replacing Doug Deacon in the Browns.
You giving your friend a little shout out.
Yeah. Well, remember when he called in, he put me over pretty well. So I just need to return that favor. But yeah, proud of him, man. He's a guy we used to do a fantasy football show together a decade ago.
With Ashton.
With Ashton.
Okay.
And Nate would fly himself from Cleveland to L.A. every Wednesday to do this show with Ashton and I on Ustream, if you remember Ustream.
And now he's worked his way into this position.
Worked his way into this position. Wow. Calling, and so proud of him, man. That's just, you know, another good guy kind of making it. And
he's going to be breaking down a lot of the film of Jacoby Brissett. That's yes, what he's going to be doing.
Yeah. And he'll kind of do like McAfee thing.
There's no way the league just lets this thing stand and says, okay, you're out there week one. Yeah. Not a shot on this green earth.
Can't happen.
How do you refute this when your lawyer just said what he said on the radio the other day?
This is wild, man. This is wild.
How do you say didn't happen when his lawyer is basically saying, I'm not, just, this is just totally hypothetical.
But
who out there in your audience
hasn't had it happen?
Come on. Right?
Yeah, it's not like it's illegal.
Even if it does happen, and I'm not saying my client was doing this.
And by the way,
let's just say this just in the court of public opinion.
And by the way, I don't think anyone here is saying that it is illegal. We're just saying for a high-profile athlete.
It can be, though. It can be.
It can be, but for a high-profile athlete, it's just very weird for you to exhibit this type of behavior when I don't know. The people have all types of quirks. But.
Last thing I want to be talking about, and in terms of a guy who I thought never in a million years, never in a million years. If you had told me this sort of behavior would be alleged of an NFL player, I'd say, please tell me it's not true. And then you tell me, this is the guy?
Right.
That guy. The Michael Jordan in cleats.
Michael Jordan in cleats. Yep.
Get out of here. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. Your phone calls 844-204-RICH. Overreaction Monday. I don't think that's part of it. Coming up.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.